In chapter 3, as Brother Tim Cunningham is going to come and read our sermon text for us this morning.
And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of God. Remember then what you received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I come against you. Yet you have still a few names in Sardis, people who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Thank you very much, Brother Tim. Today in this text, we see, as we're continuing, if you haven't been with us for the last several weeks, these are individual letters that Jesus has written to the churches in Asia Minor. We've already seen several of them in Revelation chapter 2. Here we see the letter to the church at Sardis. Those of you that have children's bulletins, you notice that on the front of it. So sometimes it's hard to find coloring pages for every particular Bible passage. And so it's hard to find a coloring page for the church at Sardis. So the front of the children's bulletin this week has sardines, because that sounds a lot like Sardis. But just in case, those of you that are filling those out, if you'll notice the first question, who is this letter written to, the church in or the church at Sardis? All right, so let me ask y'all a question as we kind of get into the mindset of what we're seeing here. Whenever somebody comes to you and says, hey, I've got good news and bad news, which one do you want to hear first? How many of you are, let me hear the good news first, people? Okay, three. How many of you are, let me hear the bad news first, people? Okay, well, that's interesting. I don't know why. I'd love to hear why. But as we've gone throughout these letters, that's kind of the general pattern that we've seen. It's usually good news and then bad news. But for most of the churches, there's been some version of commendation, something they've done well, and then some version of correction of something that they haven't. But imagine this. Your boss calls you in and says he needs to have a meeting. And you go into your boss's office and they say, I've got bad news and bad news. Which one do you want to hear first? Well, unfortunately, that's kind of what we hear for the church at Sardis. For the overall church together, there is no commendation. There's for a few people in the church. There are a few faithful. I call them the faithful few in Sardis. But overall, for the entire church, there's only correction. There's only bad news, and the good thing about that is we can learn from the mistakes of the church at Sardis. So let me give you the sermon in a sentence. Christians must continually rely on the Lord for life and vitality, which they should have. If you are a Christian, you should have vitality. You should not just be alive, not just breathing, but fully alive. Where do we get the strength to continually live that type of life? We get it from the Lord, and we'll see that in today's text, I pray. So only 2 points today. Those of you that don't like that, tough. Sorry. We only have 2 points for today. We're going to see the evaluation, and then we're going to see the exhortation. Two things in the text. So let me give you point one, then we'll read verse one together, and then I'm going to pray for us. Point one is this: the evaluation, you are dead. This is the evaluation that Jesus gives to the church at Sardis. He looks at them, he evaluates them, and his conclusion is that they are dead. Look with me in verse one. We'll see that together. The introduction is Jesus introducing himself. He says, "And to the angel of the church in Sardis write the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars." That's Jesus. And then we see his evaluation. "I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead." Let's pray. Father God, we are so thankful for your word that gives us all we need for life and godliness. Lord, we're thankful for your spirit that is within us, that continually strengthens us day by day. Lord, we're thankful for your grace. We're thankful for your sustaining power in our lives. Father, we're thankful for all of these things that we've been reminded of today through your word and through the songs we've sung. Lord, that you have provided us all of these things that allow us to be, Lord, not just alive, but fully alive, living, Lord, with energy and excitement and vitality and hope. And we find these things in you. So, Father, I pray today, I pray that anyone that's here in this room, anyone that's watching or listening at some other time, Father, that anyone that is hearing your word to the church in Sardis, Lord, that needs to also begin living in step, Lord, with their reputation of being a Christian and being fully alive. Father, that you would help us to focus on your word. Lord, that you would help us to be renewed by your spirit. That you would help us not to be distracted, not to turn away, not to push this off, but Father, to recognize our need, our daily, our every moment, minute by minute need for you to provide all that we have and all that we are. Father, help us again to be reminded of how great you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so y'all have heard the term before, the phrase, there's more than meets the eye, right? Generally, when you hear that, it's in a positive light, right? You can see the outside of this house, but oh, there's more than meets the eye, right? Maybe it's got a basement, there's something special. Well, that phrase describes the church in Sardis, but in a negative way. Unfortunately, the church here has a great name, a great reputation. They are known for being healthy and vibrant and energetic. They're probably the type of church that always had something going on. They were busy and they were bustling. And so that's how they were known. We don't know exactly who all knew them that way, but that's the reputation that they had. That's what Jesus says to them in verse 1. Right? You have the reputation of being alive. This is how other churches know you. This is how your community knows you. But then he says, but this is how I know you. Because Jesus, we've already seen this in these letters, he's the one who sees things as they truly are. And he sees things vastly different in the church in Sardis. He saw right through the facade to the truth that though they had this reputation of being alive, that they were really dead. Now, whenever you see that word dead in verse 1 there, you have to remember this is originally written in Greek. And so the Greek word that's used for dead here, you know what it means? Dead. There's no hidden meaning here. There's no surprise to this. What is he saying about them? They were inactive. There was no life. There were no vital signs apparent whenever you looked spiritually underneath at the church in Sardis. Jesus could see it wasn't about their busyness. It wasn't about their reputation. Whenever it came to the things of God, they were dead. Their reputation didn't align with who they truly were. Their walk didn't align with their talk. And this is how I think of them. They claimed Christ, but they showed little lordship. I want you to think about that for just a moment. They claimed Christ. They claimed to belong to Christ, but their life showed little lordship. Their own spiritual life support, dormant in the activities that God expected of them. And so as I sat with this text this week, I thought, what might that actually look like? What might it look like? If you're here this morning and you're wondering, well, am I like the church in Sardis? Am I one that has a reputation of being alive, but who's actually dead? How would I know? What does that look like? I came up with a couple of what I think are possibilities of what this could look like. And so they have the reputation of being alive. So if you're considering this for yourself, this would have to be a Christian, maybe who says the right things to everybody when they talk, who has really good church attendance probably, who might even hold some leadership positions in the church, who is probably well respected in the community, right? You have this reputation of being alive. You're doing things. You're one who's a goer and a doer. And I really think if I had to break the whole thing down, that this is what I'd say. It's probably someone who has that reputation, but at the heart of it has no love for God and no love for other people. Because the activities that those things lead to would be missing in your life. So this is probably somebody who gives and who serves, but who really does that begrudgingly. Right. You're doing it in the way that everybody can see, but you're not doing it out of love, right? Whenever we give and serve out of a motivation of love for God, of recognizing His love for us, we desire to do those things. But whenever we don't, whenever we're not in love with God, whenever we're not doing things because we love Him or because we love His people, we do it and it's just customary, right? That's just what you do. You go or you give money or you do this. You don't actually want to do it. It's more obligatory. And so you do the things you do out of a sense of obligation, not out of a sense of love or desire or want to. Probably the type of person who has a great reputation but doesn't ever spend personal time with the Lord. Right? Everybody knows them. They're at Sunday school and they answer the questions, but on their own, they rarely ever read the Bible, rarely ever pray. And if they do, again, it's kind of they feel an obligation. Check that box. I read my Bible today. Christian with a great reputation who never witnesses to anybody. Never shares the gospel. Never invites other people to church. They just don't seem to have any zeal for expanding the kingdom. They have no care for those who are lost. I think it could probably be a Christian who doesn't spend time in fellowship with other Christians. Right? They do what people say you need to do, but it's never anything extra. They never come to Sunday school. They never come on Wednesday night. They never get here early to visit with people. They never stay late to talk. They never invite other Christians over to their house for a meal to spend time with them. Right? They don't seem to have a love for God's people. They just don't. Christians who don't sing. Christians who have no joy in life. Christians with little peace or patience or kindness. You run down the list of the fruit of the Spirit. And there are a lot of other possibilities, but I pray you get the point here. I think this is probably what Jesus saw when he looked at the church at Sardis. This is a church that's doing all the stuff, but they don't actually do it because they love God. They're serving all kinds of people. They probably had great outreach things. They probably, maybe they had a food pantry, right? Maybe they did block parties and invited the whole community. But they didn't do it because they loved their neighbors. They just did it because that's what they were supposed to do. They looked like they were alive, but they were dead. And I trust that there are probably some here this morning that are starting to feel like, well, maybe this is me. Well, if so, you're in a great place because this morning Jesus is going to give us the remedy for this. What do you do if you're a Christian who's spiritually dry and sleepwalking through life? Well, here's the exhortation. Point two this morning, the exhortation, strengthen what remains. So we're about to see Jesus say these words in the text. Take what you do have Take the little bit of life that is still there and strengthen it. What does that mean? Well, he's going to explain it in more detail. Look in verse 2. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I've not found your works complete in the sight of my God. The first thing Jesus says here is, wake up. Open your eyes. Come back to reality. Ground control to Major Tom, whatever it is that's going to get your attention. This is what he's saying. The first thing, I think the first step in strengthening what remains is this. You have to recognize your spiritual state. You have to recognize the state of decline that you are in before you're going to turn it around. Before you're going to do what you need to, before you're going to commit to a new course, you have to understand your current one. You need to know where you are. And so the first thing you need to do is wake up. Friends, if your spiritual life is dwindling, you need to be aware of that. Don't try and push it off on somebody else. Yep, man, Brother Zach was on it this morning and somebody there needed to hear that. Maybe you need to hear this. Don't try and push it to somebody else. Because here's the good news. Here's what he's saying in this text, at least part of what he's saying, is if this is you, all hope is not lost. The final sentence has not been passed. Right? He's saying there is some life in you, right? To strengthen what remains means there has to be something that remains. But here's the problem. It's about to die. It's like it's a coal that needs to be fanned into a flame or it's going to go out. Friends, Jesus says, wake up. Recognize where you are. So if you say, okay, I'm awake, what do I need to do now? I think this is the second step, and this is what we've been singing about and reading about all morning, and it's this. We need to turn our eyes upon Jesus. That's the next step. Once you realize that you are not where you need to be, and you're not who you need to be, and you're not living like you need to live, you need to turn your eyes to Jesus. Look at verse 3. Remember then what you received and heard. Keep it and repent. And then there's a warning. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you. Those of you that have been married for enough years will know what I'm talking about here. There are seasons in marriage, there are times when you and your spouse feel extremely close and the bond is strong and things are going well. And then there are times, if you've been married long enough, there are times when you don't feel as close. Not necessarily something's wrong, but it's just that the closeness seems to have faded for a season. One practice that I find particularly helpful in a time like that, and if your marriage is there today, I would recommend this to you, is to think back on when you first met your spouse. Like for me, this is useful. Again, I guess this is underlying theme for today. Some of you get tired of hearing me talk about Amanda, but tough. I'm going to. Anyways, so I fell in love at first sight whenever I met Amanda. And so for me, during a season when maybe we're not as close, it's useful for me to think back on that smile of that young athletic woman there that I met at Lake Forest Ranch and on an FCA retreat. To think back when we were just dating, to think back on those long nights on the phone. Whenever I was thankful that this beautiful woman even knew who I was, much less that she wanted to devote her attention to me for hours upon end. Right, to look back at old pictures of things that you used to do and places that you used to go, and to be reminded of why I was so smitten with Amanda in the first place. And then to remember this, she's all those things and more now. And when I do that, it just reinvigorates this desire to be close to her and to spend time with her. And brothers and sisters, Jesus here, I think, is telling us the same thing is true for us spiritually. If you're in a spiritually dry season, if you find yourself farther from God than you need to be, I think an understanding of what it means to be a synonym for dead here, then what you need to do is to remember. Remember what? Remember what it was that you heard. Remember what it was that you received. Remember why you fell in love with Jesus in the first place. Friends, if you're far from God or you feel far from God, then do this. Turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in His wonderful face, and allow all of the other things that have replaced Him in your life, all of the other priorities that have come between you and Him, to fade away. Remember the gospel. Now let me say this is a good practice for all Christians. Even if you're here this morning and you're not in a spiritually dry season, it's a great thing for us to remember the gospel, to remember why we came to love Jesus in the first place, to remember this perfect God who is holy in every single way, who knows everything about you. Right, none of the ugly parts are hidden from Him. He knows who you really are. He knows the things that you think that you wouldn't even tell the people that you're closest to, that you've thought. All the shameful things that we hide from everyone else, He knows all those things. Yet, Jesus didn't look at us with all the sickening stains of our sin and say, "Get away from me, you filthy person. Get away from me. Don't come near me, you sinful person." No, instead He looked at us and said, "Though I see your sin, and though I see your stains, and though I see you're ugly, I love you. And I cherish you. And I want to have a personal relationship with you. I love you so much that I would die to take away that stain, to take away that sin. I would die so that you could experience my forgiveness and my grace." That's the Jesus that we fell in love with. Oh, that He would even care for us. That He would even pay us attention. But more than that, that He says that we're His treasured possession. Of all the things in all the universe, there's nothing that He glories in more than His children. And I'm convinced of this, that we needed God to help us go from being dead to being alive. That we needed Him for salvation, but that our need for Him doesn't stop there. I think sometimes we miss that. It's like we get in the club, we get in the door, we're here, we've made it, everything's good. Thank you, Jesus. I'll see you when I get to heaven. But no, here He says, remember what you've received, remember what you've heard, keep it, hold on to it, cherish it, abide in it, repent of your inactivity, repent of your living far from God, and recognize He is our continual source of life. Friends, how is it that we've ever come to love God or anybody else? 1 John 4 tells us because He first loved us. We need Him for that. John 15 that Brother Shane read and that we sang earlier, how do we abide fruit? How do we bear fruit in life? We abide in Him. We need Him to do that. How do we do these things, right? How is it that we can produce in life? Where does the fruit of the Spirit come? It comes from the Spirit of God being in us. How is it that we can live vibrant lives producing? Well, Psalm 1 tells us, It's by delighting in the law of the Lord and meditating on it day and night that when we do that, we're like a tree that's planted by a stream of water and our leaves never grow dry. Right? But all of these things are found in this continually looking to and living and relying on Jesus. He is the one that makes us alive, and he's the one that keeps us alive. And everybody who turns away from him is like somebody that's sleepwalking. Now, if you've ever seen anybody that sleepwalk, you see them and they look like they're awake, but they're not. Like the church at Sardis, who looked like they were alive, but they were not. So this morning, I'm actually going to cut the sermon short. This was the plan. This was the intention. Verses 4 and 5 go on to talk. Jesus addresses the faithful few in the church at Sardis, and he has a lot to say to them. And we're going to look at that this Wednesday at 1:30 and at 6:30. I invite you to come and to be part of that, to hear and to think about that day when we stand before the Lord and he confesses our name in front of God and we enter into his eternal rest, to come and to hear about that. But as I prepared this week, spent some time talking to Brother Adam about this, I just felt like these first three verses, I had an overwhelming feeling that this is where we needed to stay for this morning. I don't know exactly why. I don't know if the Lord is speaking directly to one of you about this or to many of you about this. But if he is, I want it to be loud and clear. And I don't want to move on in a way that causes you to move on from this. If the Lord is impressing upon you today that you, though you claim Christianity, though you claim Christ, that you show little lordship, if he's impressing upon your heart today that everybody thinks that you're alive, but he knows the truth about you, and that you're really spiritually dead, and you this morning now know the truth because he has pointed it out to you, I would implore you, don't just shove it away. Don't say, well, I can't act upon this because I want to keep my reputation of being alive. No, instead do this. Strengthen what remains before that also dies. And remember the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember that he saved you. Remember your need for him. Remember how good he's been to you, as Brother Adam read for us from Psalm 103. Remember all of the blessings, all of the benefits you've gained from him, and let that cause you to just work up inside of you a desire to love and serve him faithfully again. This morning we're going to observe the Lord's Supper, and we're going to sing. Some of y'all are thinking, he keeps talking about turning our eyes on Jesus. We haven't sang that song, but we're going to in just a moment. But this morning, I'm actually going to implore some of you not to sing that song. Because I think some of you probably need to spend this time in prayer or meditation and reflection about your life and where you are and how you've gotten there, and asking the Lord to help you to move from there to the place that you used to be. That's what it looks like to repent that he calls us to here. If you are not living as Christ would have you to live, then begin doing that in his strength. So I'm going to invite our praise team to come up, and our deacons and yoke fellows are going to help with the Lord's Supper to come and invite all of you to stand. And as we prepare to observe the Lord's Supper, I want to give you a couple of ways that you might consider responding to this text. I would say, first of all, there are probably at least a few in here who are truly spiritually dead. You don't just appear to be dead. You are spiritually dead in the sense that you have never come to faith in Jesus Christ. And I would say this, if that is you, then you need to come today and respond in faith to Jesus Christ before it's too late. He is going to return. We do not know when that is. And so the best thing that you could possibly do is to always be prepared. How do you get prepared? for the coming of Christ. You do that through giving your life to Jesus. I would also say that if you're here this morning and you're a Christian who is on spiritual life support, wake up. Recognize the truth. Jesus expects his people to live full and vibrant and joyful, engaged life of service to him and to others. If you're not, then you are the ones that I would recommend not singing the song this morning. And spend some time meditating. And spend some time praying. And asking the Lord for strength to repent and to turn from it. And remember how good he's been to you. And let that cause you to desire to serve him again. And then I will speak briefly to the faithful Christians that are here as well. The faithful, hopefully not few, as faithful few in Sardis, I trust it's not the faithful few here. But I want you to also take some time this morning to remember. Remember the gospel. Remember how good the Lord has been to you. I was listening to a friend of mine preach just a few weeks ago, and he gave this line. He said, "Until eternity begins, let us spend our days seeing and savoring the beauty of our God." If it's been a while since you've done that, take this opportunity. See and savor the beauty of our glorious God. Our deacons are going to come and they're going to pass out the elements for the Lord's Supper this morning. I'll point out, if you're with us this morning and you are gluten intolerant, there are some prepackaged cups that look like this in each of the trays, and we would love for you to take one of those. Those are gluten-free, and we'd love for you to have that. Also, want to say that if you're with us this morning and you're not a member of Mount Zion Baptist Church, but you are a baptized believer who's a faithful member of a church, we invite you to observe the Lord's Supper with us this morning. So we would love for you to take part in that. But if you're with us this morning and you're not a believer, then we ask that you would just allow the plate to pass by. And this morning, what we offer to you is Christ, because he has already offered himself in our place. This morning, you pray or you sing, but you respond as you need to, as Brother Shane and the praise team lead us in this hymn.
Soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's life for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face.
First, take the cup off the bottom that has the bread in it. As I read for us from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the instructions that the Apostle Paul gives us about taking the Lord's Supper. He says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" He continues and says, "In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" You may be seated. I think the Lord's Supper is a great reminder to us of the necessity of remembering what the Lord has done for us. That's why we continually take the supper, that we don't do it just once, that we do this over and over, because we are forgetful people who need reminding of how good God has been to us. And so I pray that every time that we take the Lord's Supper, that it does not seem routine or mundane to you, but that is a reminder that we have a God who loves us enough that he allowed himself to die as a sacrifice, who took the penalty for our sins so that we could live. What a glorious God we serve. Amen. Amen. I only have one announcement for you. There's some more in the announcement sheet. If you would pay attention to that and be aware of those things. One that didn't make it in there is we do have Church League softball that's beginning soon. If you are interested in playing, the first game is going to be next Monday night, Memorial Day. And so if you are interested in playing, you can reach out to Brother Shane, and he is going to coordinate that. Just let him know. Brother Shane, would you raise your hand? If you don't know, he's the one that's up here singing in the blue shirt. See him after the service or send him a text, give him a call if you're interested in playing softball with Mount Zion Baptist Church. I want to say thank you so much for being here this morning. I pray that you have a wonderful week. I'm going to invite you to stand, and I'm going to pray and ask the Lord's blessing upon us as we go. And with that prayer, we will be dismissed. Yes. Yeah, we'll talk about that in just a minute. Okay, thank you. All right, let's pray. Father God, we do thank you. We thank you that you have Lord, that you have given us everything that we need, not only for, Lord, our initial step into life, Lord, and not only the justification that we need to receive eternal life, but Father, you give us what we need day by day by day to continue to live lives full of joy and hope. Lord, to live with peace and excitement, Father, but to live out the callings of Scripture. Lord, to give and to serve and to go and to tell and to witness, Father, that there are all of these actions that you have called us to do. And Father, that you allow us to continually to draw strength from you to do those things. Father, thank you for giving us your Spirit who lives inside of us, who gives us the strength not only to endure persecution and hard times, but also to live and to do and to serve. So, Father, help us to live not with people that just have the reputation of being Christians or the reputation of being alive, but, Father, those who actually live as Christ lived. Lord, help us to be people who do all those things and do them joyfully, doing them because we love you and because we love the people that you have created. Father, help us to often think back and remember why it is that we fell in love with you in the first place. And let that motivate us to go and to do the things that you've called us to do. Father, we thank you for the reminders that we've had today. Lord, for the supper, for the songs, for the Scripture. Lord, I pray that these things have strengthened our resolve and our souls to go and do your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.